The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, The Soccer Shack, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, New Way Auto Parts, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park, presented by Kodak. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. I'm your co-host, Andrew Battisti. Hope everybody's having a very happy Memorial Day weekend. We have a big show tonight. We have two members of the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame will be with us. One of our great friends, a former member of the Lancers, former member of the Cosmos, and he's back with the Cosmos as the one of the international ambassadors. Shep Messing will be joining us, and also the technical director for U.S. Women's Soccer, the former player in the 1991 World Cup and the coach of the team in 2003, April Heinrichs, will join us. And we have, of course, the man himself, Joe Sirianni. He's always here with us.
Well, you and I are always here at the mic to talk about soccer. And, you know, our guests this week are tremendous people, are people that have very knowledge of soccer, are people that, you know, they have the insight on how to play the game. And Shep Messing, what a career that he's had in soccer, you know, and now he's going back to his alma mater where he made it big with the Cosmos. And don't forget, he made it big with the Lancer as well. So
that's right.
There is an association with the name and with all of the guests that, on this show. The guy that is reviving the name, and we hope that he's bringing him to the same height and honor that you know, we enjoyed in the past.
Absolutely. And just for full disclosure, this show is being taped a few days in advance as we're all on Memorial Day holiday ourselves, so we're not going to have any information about the Rhinos playing today against New York or the Flash match or Barcelona against Manchester United. We'll get back to a live show again next Monday, but let's bring our first guest on right now. As Joe mentioned, he's the man who has brought back the Rochester Lancers, and they'll be playing in the brand new MISL in 2011. Very happy to have with us one of our sponsors, of course, Salvatore Soccer, Sam Fantuzzo, and his appearance today is brought to you by Salvatore's, over 20 locations in the Rochester area. One number, 234-5555. Sam, thanks for being with us.
Thank you guys for having me on this beautiful Memorial Day,
Yeah. We hope it's beautiful. Well, I guess we'll find out when we listen to the show. But, Sam, I know we're all very excited about the Lancers coming back, but we were even more excited about the fact that the MISL has decided, I think, a very smart move to partner up with the USL and to combine the two leagues together. It makes it a whole new dynamic with indoor soccer. You've got the great tradition of the MISL and the stability of the USL's front office to run the league. I think it's a great move.
Definitely, Andrew and Joe, it's a great move. I'm looking right now at my orange and black MISL soccer ball here. There's so much history in this league. So many great players have played in and continue to play in the MISL, and we're just lucky, man. It's just sometimes, you know, luck goes your way, and the I-League basically had an opportunity to negotiate with the MISL owners. I think we had a lot to do with it. Doug Miller, myself, and Tommy Tanner, we were being solicited by the MISL to join them, Syracuse and Rochester, to join them. And they were contacting anybody they knew. So Doug Healy, who was with Baltimore, was contacting Doug Miller because Doug played with him. And Keith Tozer, who knew Tommy Tanner, was contacting Tommy, saying, guys, come on, you got to join the MISL. You know, it's the way to go, way to go. And we kept on saying, no, we're committed to the I-League. We're committed to Chris Economides, our friend. And they basically eventually said, you know what, you know, they have something great with their front office, 22 people working in an office, promoting soccer, developing soccer, and the MSL has this amazing brand with amazing teams. Let's figure out a way to combine it. They did, and now the Lancers and the Syracuse team benefit from that.
Well, Sam, you know, looking back at our connection with you in soccer, you always said that you like indoor soccer better than outdoor soccer. Am I correct?
You know, Joe, I've never been a purist, and I know Andrew and I have never seen eye to eye this as friends, but, you know, I grew up, you know, watching the Lancers, and it was a different time in soccer. It was a different quality of play. That I think right now the MLS is getting there, where now I think American soccer fans could start to appreciate American outdoor soccer. But for many, many years, you know, if you were just a casual soccer fan following American soccer, other than a couple of spurts with the national teams, it was kind of tough if you weren't really into the tie games and the 1-1 games. So indoor soccer, I think, was more appealing to me. I went to my first ever Lancer game at the Blue Cross Arena. Back then it was War Memorial, and I just fell in love with indoor soccer. And then when Lakeshore and different places around town had indoor soccer, we had teams in there, and it was just so exciting. You know, 10 goals, 12 goals, you know, nonstop action. And I just fell in love with indoor soccer back in the day. The NPSL was around when Buffalo was in, and I think, to me, it's more designed for the American sports fan that loves soccer, but not necessarily appreciates the game like a purist does.
You know, one of the things that can be said about you know, indoor soccer is that, just like you mentioned in the beginning, when the Lancer played at the War Memorial that time, and Jim May at that time was the goalkeeper, the goals were completely rectangular and short, you know, and much has been changed since then. And then when you look at the fantastic run that the Arrows had in New York, you know, and the teams in Buffalo and the teams in Baltimore, I mean, those were fantastic years with guys like Jungle, Pat Ercoli playing for it. Those were fantastic years for indoor soccer.
Well, when you look at that New York Arrows roster, it basically was the Rochester Lancers with the addition of Steve Jungle. I mean, that was the team. It was the New York Arrows were the best team. And Chet Messing, we're going to have on the show in a little bit, he was a part of that New York Arrows team. So indoor soccer really has a great base in Rochester with the old NASL rules back in 75-76 when the Lancers did very well, and then the Arrows. So there's a big base for indoor soccer, and I think it's going to be a big success.
You know, I'm in my little office here, and I got all kinds of old programs. I have the Arrow program, which, you know, at the time, certain owners that owned the Rochester Lancers owned the Arrows. Obviously, the whole team, the Stars, were Rochester Lancer players. And then after that team folded, the New York Express, which Chet Messing was one of the owners and a player for, a lot of those players played for the Flash and played for the Rochester Flash and played for the New York Express. So there's a lot of, like, history where if you were a soccer fan back in that era, you followed indoor soccer because your favorite players were playing in the winter indoor. So, you know, I'm excited. I think indoor is going to be a hit here, and we're going to do everything we can to kind of, what the Cosmos are doing right now, our goal is to bring back some of the legends of the original Lancers and make them ambassadors, make them part of the team. I'd love Charlie Shannon to be our chairman of the board, our honorary chairman of the board, and really kind of reconnect with the past. I want to do a Lancer Hall of Fame and kind of retire some names and retire some numbers of the original owners, original players, guys that passed away, and really let the young kids, not necessarily that young, but kids, I have children that are between 23 and 27. They might know the Lancers because I mentioned them, but and my son could walk right by Nelson Capello at MCC and have no idea that Nelson was a Lancer player. I want to kind of re-educate these kids that are 35 and younger and let them know what the Lancers did for this community. They started soccer. They started the youth clubs. They coached in high schools around here, and obviously in college with MCC and Nelson. But I want to do my part to kind of, you know, keep that history alive.
Well, Sam, the big question I think everybody has is, when are we going to hear some announcements about a coach and about players coming in? I know on the Rochester Lancers website, which is rochesterlancers.com, you have a list of wish list of players, and it's practically everybody who played for the Rhinos. So obviously we know who you want to have come play, but Tell us about what the plans are for coaching, for announcing a coach and signing players.
Well, our head coach and our assistant coach are definitely going to be Rochester Rhino Legends is my goal. We hope to have that announcement sometime mid-June. I'm just hoping when the Rhinos were away in Antigua that week, because again, you know, there's limited media coverage, other than your show and a few other shows, but with the average TV station, there's limited soccer coverage, so I don't want to take away any of the Rhinos coverage during their season. So I'm waiting for them to be away. We'll announce our coach, our assistant coach, and then probably the following Rhino road trip, when they're away, we'll announce some key players. And again, I'm a big Rhino fan. I want to, a lot of these guys still could play, and I want to bring them back. The guys that the fans miss and haven't seen in a while. You guys saw it last week when Abby Wambach came to town. 8,000 fans showed up at the stadium. American sports fans want to see names they recognize. They want to see stars they recognize. I'm going to do everything in my power to capitalize on that and bring back as many ex-Rhinos as possible that the fans already love. They already know them, and then include some new players, obviously, and some young players from this area, and try to. Our nucleus, though, is going to be ex-Rhinos.
You already touched on it, but I just I was going to bring it up to you. That in the past, in the history of soccer in Rochester, has been that the team they build stars, and the stars they drew people at the stadium. I think it's very remiss of it when team don't build stars that somebody can identify with. So I hope that your endeavor, you're going to be able to build stars like Sting Camp and
Doug Miller,
of course, and DeAndrecki and
Greg Damon,
the Damons, all those kind of guys that really the fans identify with.
Joe and Andrew, we could do our part to sign the right players. I mean, definitely people are going to recognize a lot of the players because they played here before. But I think the Rhinos and a lot of teams, the coaches and the GMs sign guys that you think are going to be stars. But it just, I think the old Rhinos got lucky. I think not only were these guys great on the field but off the field, they had that natural charisma. I mean, I don't know if we're going to be as lucky. I'm hoping we'll be as lucky as that original group that Pat Erkley and Chris Economides kind of brought to roster. But, it's a shot in the dark sometimes. You bring in a guy and you think he's going to be great and he's average, or he is great on the field, but something doesn't connect with the fans. And we've all seen it in sports, throughout the country. I mean, if you follow football, sometimes the biggest stars aren't necessarily the best players. And, we hope with some of these young guys we do sign that they do become household names, the stars, and that's definitely our goal. But I think Pat Erkley and company could attest to this. You really sometimes don't know until it's really up to them and the fans how they react.
Absolutely, Sam. I know that we're all looking forward to November. I mean, we'll be in a soccer drought by then. Everything will be pretty much done by the end of August, Labor Day area for the Rhinos and the Western New York Flash. So there'll be a couple of months with just MLS and European soccer. So we're looking forward to having something local during the winter time that we can go and watch and enjoy and cheer on our hometown team. So I know November's the big date, and the schedule should be coming out hopefully this summer.
Definitely, the schedule will come out in July, and I'm hoping that we could have a lot of Rhino players playing for our current Rhino players, and hopefully we can develop new stars for both teams. And definitely we're not competing with the Rhinos or the Flash. It's a different time of year, and I think if anything it's a great time of year because a lot of youth clubs aren't traveling all weekend and traveling all over the place, where now the coaches and the players could relax in the winter and come and watch some games. And I hope to see you guys there. And And I got a surprise for Joe Sirianni, that home opener. So we'll talk about that soon, Andrew.
Okay. Well, Sam, we appreciate you coming on here and talking about this. We'll definitely be talking a lot about the Lancers in the coming weeks and months. And we're looking forward to the people wearing that famous blue and gold jersey and the emblem with the R and the lance and the ball. It's something that's ingrained in soccer fans in this area. We're looking forward to seeing it on the field once again.
Thank you, guys. Have a great Memorial Day.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
Bye-bye.
Soccer Sam Fantuzzo here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. The The Rochester Lancers will be back, Joe, in November. And
just like reliving a dream. So yeah. I'll be wearing my Lancer jacket that I used to have. So I got to revive a hope that it fits.
You know, I'm sure
so
it does.
I used to have a track suit with the Lancer emblem and stuff, but I looked for it and I found it. Don't fit anymore.
Oh, boy.
So I got to go on a strict diet to put it back on.
Oh, I'm sure you will, Joe. You'll have it fitting by November. But speaking of the Lancers, coming up next is a former member of the Rochester Lancers, one of the most popular players in U.S. soccer history, a member of the Hall of Fame, and the new ambassador for the New York Cosmos. Shep Messing joins us next on Soccer Is a Kick in the Grass on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, Dick Howard, a very interested listener always at WYSL, and I get my kicks in the grass courtesy of Joe Siriani.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The one place in town to get all your gear is The Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Watch the sparks fly as Rochester enters the highest level of women's professional soccer in the world with the Western New York Flash. Starring five-time FIFA Player of the Year, Marta. Ball Girl Opportunities Season and Group Ticket Specials online at WNYFlash.com. Strike it big with Marta and the Flash. Get struck.
Come see the Flash at Salem Stadium Friday, June 3rd at 7:30 against Sky Blue FC. The Western New York Flash, experience the best.
New Way Auto Parts, with six locations in the Rochester area, is your full-service auto parts store, servicing both wholesale and retail customers. New Way Auto Parts is the first choice for local repair shops and dealers for over 50 years. Shop where the pros do at New Way Auto Parts. Go to HanAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HANAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at Salvatore's.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me, Salvatore's.com.
The Rochester Rhinos continue play in their 16th season. The Rhinos' next home match is Saturday, June 11th at 5:30 p.m. against the Harrisburg City Islanders. Rhinos' single-game tickets can be purchased at the Salem Stadium box office or by calling the Rhinos at 454-KICK. Group sale discounts are available. Get the complete 2011 schedule by visiting the Rhinos' website at rhinosoccer.com. Be at the heart of the Rhinos' action at Salem Stadium all season long.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, our special Memorial Day pre-tape show. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Siriani. And listening to Saturday Night Fever music. When you think of Saturday Night Fever, you think of New York City. And our guest certainly epitomizes New York. And he's back with his hometown team, the New York Cosmos.
Well, let me tell you, if the gentleman that we're going to have, it's a player and a person that I admire the most for all his achievement. I was privileged to have for him to be part of the team, the Rochester Lancers. And, there's a lot of things that we're going to talk to him about it. And we're going to see how many things he remember, the good and the bad and the ugly. So, we're very pleased to have with us our friend Shep Messing.
And Shep's appearance on the show is brought to you by dental Dr. David Olivo of Gates. Shep, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on your new post, an international ambassador with the New York Cosmos.
Well, thank you both so much. This is one show, and Joe in particular, who I'd do anything for, both of you, but Joe and I special. I want to get to those stories too, but I'm thrilled to be announced as the new international ambassador for the New York Cosmos. I'm joining Pelé and Giorgio Canaglia and Carlos Alberto, so when they called me, I said, where do I sign on? I mean, that's a group I
want to
be included in.
Well, Shep, but if anybody really can be proud of the career of his career, I think that you got to really be proud, because you played with the best at a time that really was fantastic, and a time that goes, it never will be forgotten.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And Joe, look, we go way back. I was just a small piece of the puzzle, but what I'm proudest of, and what I tell youngsters and players at all levels, is you just be the best you can be. Don't ever want to look back and say, I should have done this or I could have done more, because, it's once in a lifetime the opportunity. For me, I was just the goalkeeper in the right place at the right time with, I think, one of the greatest teams in the world, and a period of time in the NASL, including my time with Rochester, where it was spectacular. The players were spectacular. The fans were spectacular. And I'm just proud to have been a part of it. And
Shep, I'm so pleased that you have become part of, what you were before, the Cosmos. And I think that in the future, with the people that are involved in reviving the name, the Cosmo, soon is going to be something that New York City and the world is going to be proud, because I would think that by reviving the Cosmo, you're going to revive the same kind of a team. They're going to form the same kind of team that was then. Is that the plans?
I think, first of all, Joe, I think you're 100% right. And look, what we did back in the day was special. And, I want to get to Rochester, too, because, that playoff series when I was with the Cosmos and we played that game up in Rochester, I think it was 2-1, and then came back in the rain at Giant Stadium. And then later on, I became a Rochester Lancer. So that type of soccer, that type of atmosphere, those type of players, I think we're going to see it again. I know that's the plan for the New York Cosmos. Major League Soccer has done a great, great job starting a league, being in business, getting a little bit better every year. But the New York Cosmos, they want to be better than just a little bit better. They've already got Eric Cantona in coaching the youth academy. And I think when they get a team in Major League Soccer, it's going to be a team that'll knock your socks off.
Chef, that's what we're waiting for. I mean, everyone's talking about the 20th team, which would fill out the league, and the Cosmos would be like the icing on the cake, the top of the pyramid. And it's a brand that everybody in soccer still knows and still remembers so fondly from the United States, all over the world, because of the great players that played on the team and the tours that the team did all over the world, playing against the best teams from Europe and South America and Asia, Africa. It's been, they're well, very well known. And we've talked to Kobe Jones recently when he joined up, and the big thing I think that the New York needs is the stadium to play in the city, right in the middle of the Big Apple, and make it New York's team, because the Red Bulls really are New Jersey's team. They play in New Jersey. And they draw a lot of people from New Jersey. New York needs that team right in the center of everything. And I think that's what hopefully the Cosmos are planning.
I don't think there's any question that's the plan. I know that's the plan. I mean, it's going to be within the five boroughs of New York. You know, I hear lots of talk about Queens, but it may be Manhattan, maybe Queens, the Bronx, Brooklyn. It's going to be New York's team. And look, my feeling, guys, and you know it better than anybody, if Qatar can host a World Cup, we have enough soccer fans in the tri-state area for two teams.
That is correct. I mean, I remember playing in the stadium against the Cosmo for 76,000 people. You know, and those were the days that, the little Rochester Lancer playing against the Cosmo, and there was 76,000 people there. So the fans are there. They just need the people to come and see.
Yeah, I think they're on the right path. I mean, I know they are in active discussions, the New York Cosmo executives, with the mayor, Bloomberg, with the city, with Don Garber, with Major League Soccer. It's something, guys, that everybody wants to happen. They want it to happen. It's good for Major League Soccer. It's good for the Red Bulls. It's going to raise the level of the entire league. So when you have everybody pulling for the same thing, you really think it's going to happen.
Oh, right. Shep, the press release that came out today with the announcement, there's something in there that I didn't know. And we've talked to a lot of the Rhino players and the Western New York Flash. And a lot of those people, we talked to the players, they all started when they were 5 years old, 4 years old playing soccer. You didn't start till you were 15 years old in Long Island. I know you recently went back to your old school in Long Island to talk to them about your playing soccer. So tell us about how you got into the sport itself.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's where we celebrated this announcement. I came back to my old high school and spoke to the school, and really it was just a twist of fate, and I consider myself very, very lucky and very different than how today's young players are brought up. I played American football, basketball, baseball, and when I was in ninth grade, 15 years old, going into 10th grade, our football team, the American football team, was 0-10, and never scored a touchdown. And the soccer coach came out to me and he said, look, you're a point guard in basketball. You're a shortstop in baseball. You've got the athleticism. I need a goalkeeper. How about you going in goal for me? And that's the first time I ever saw a soccer ball. And that's not how it happens today, but it's not a bad way to get into the game. If you take an American athlete with a hand-eye coordination, the aggressiveness, the quickness, the reflexes of a point guard or a shortstop, and he's a little bit crazy, you have the recipe for a goalkeeper. And I only played for 4 years organized soccer before I was an All-American and on the Olympic team.
Well, you know, I tell everybody, Shep, that, players, goalkeepers and left wing, in order to play their position, you got to build up by crazy. You know, and I remember the days, if my memory serves me right, I remember that you used to come to Rochester the day of the game, and then, you used to come and you used to play the game, and then, invariably, you celebrated a little bit after the game and the old Americano Hotel, remember?
Do you remember? That's the question.
Well, those are the stories I want to tell, because that was unusual. I love my time with the Rochester Lancers because that was a fan base, and I was coming from 77,000 people at Giant Stadium, but the Rochester fans were really a different level in terms of sophistication, passion, and I had just had a child born, and that's why in my contract I flew into Rochester, and I wanted to be home with my daughter, who was 3 months old, so I stayed at the Americana Hotel. I'd fly in, I'd train, I'd play the game, and I'd fly back after some partying in downtown Rochester. And that's what Joe was for us. That's why I love being on your show. Joe was everything. Trainer, coach, psychologist, friend. I mean,
don't forget that.
It'd be Joe that would be calling me at 4 in the morning saying, hey, where are you? Get back to the room.
and Papa,
I'll never forget those days.
And Popovich just called me and said, have you seen Shep? Where is Shep?
No, that was Joe's. Joe was the master of everything and the glue that held the team together. And I'm not kidding. It was Joe. And I'm looking at my you know, the phone in the hotel at the Americana, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I've had three bottles of wine, and the red light's flashing. I know it's Joe trying to track me down for Popovich.
Well, Chef, what's interesting is that the Lancers actually did very well against the Cosmos. I believe that they're about equal in the number of victories in the glory era. And what was it like when you played against the Cosmos when you were with the Lancers? What was that like for you playing against your old team?
Well, you know, I liked it. I relished it. Again, the Rochester fans for me were, I don't want to say better, but in a way they were better. I mean, the Cosmo crowds were fantastic, but there was a unity, a central organization that were the Rochester Lancers that it felt like you were playing in Europe. It felt like the whole city was behind you. So those were battles. Look, I remember one of the greatest games I ever had in my life was against Rochester for the Cosmos in the playoffs in Rochester, and I think the final score was 2-1, and I had the flu the night before the game, but I had a very good game, and that's why we were able to squeak out a win. I think Stojanovic had a goal against me.
What a goal. Diving header.
Yep. And I think Canalia had two, maybe, but we won the game. And then there was a downpour in the rain. I think it was 4-1 back at Giant Stadium.
Yes, it was.
But that rivalry was... You know what, guys? You know, it's sometimes you try and manufacture rivalries, and we see that all over. We see it in Major League Soccer where they try and manufacture a rivalry. The Rochester-Cosmo rivalry was real. Whether it's because of New York, whatever it was, I mean, that was a bitter rivalry. A lot of respect. I mean, believe me, those Cosmo teams were the greatest players. We respected the Rochester Lancers. We respected the talent, the coaching, the atmosphere, the stadium. And then when I switched jerseys and played for Rochester, I was on the other end. So if you play for the Rochester Lancers, it was, you know, rally the wagons, get in a circle, and you know, do it till you die. I mean, we really played.
You know, Shep, that to make a little better comment about the Rochester fans, the New York fans are wonderful, but their distance. Rochester's are up close and, you know, and personal. That's the way it is.
You don't have to tell me and talk about Joe finding me in a hotel at 4 in the morning. I'd be walking down the streets downtown in Rochester. Probably, I could say this on the radio show, I want to say a burlesque or strip club at 3 in the morning. And the problem was everybody in Rochester knew who we were. So I couldn't sneak into that bar at 3 in the morning.
you're one of a kind, Chef, I tell you. I think that's why when the Cosmos started coming together, the new version of the Cosmos, the people in Rochester are really interested in this because we were in the same division as the Cosmos. We played them every year twice, and then in the playoffs as well. So the relaunch of this team, I think there's going to be a huge fan base for the new Cosmos when they join MLS. I think it's a matter of when, obviously. I think it'll be like the Yankees because there's a huge number of Yankee fans in Rochester. It's going to be the same with the Cosmos. It's going to be our MLS team.
I'm thrilled to hear that because I feel exactly the same way. You know, let's face it, we're not going to have fans. We're going to have people who hate us in L.A., but we're going to have people in Rochester who love us.
Exactly. And, you know, let's not forget it, to mention the fact that in your younger days, you also were very famous with the ladies.
I think he's still famous with the ladies.
When you posed especially for the playgirl.
Well, let me tell you guys, it's still pretty good. we had a good time. I was just on the phone with Giorgio Canalia the other day, and I was telling Giorgio we played a game in Rome. And Giorgio had just come from Lazio. We went to Rome. We played a friendly against Lazio, and I'll never forget after the game in Rome, Giorgio said, "Come with me to a nightclub called Jackie O's." So we're in Rome. We go to Jackie O's. We walk in the door at 1 in the morning, and they light a cigarette for Giorgio. They take his shoes. They give him a bottle of Chivas Regal, They give me champagne. There were so many women there, I think I missed the next two games.
You got to live the clean life, Chef, I tell you.
That was clean.
Yeah, right. But, you know, those were the days. You know, you don't see that anymore because soccer's become such a big business now, and everybody, if anything happens, it's immediately all over the internet. So, but that's why looking back at the NASL is so much fun, and the characters and the people who played in the league were outstanding. So,
well, you guys have done a great job with everything you do up there in Rochester. I follow you all the time. I'm a friend. I'm family to you. And when I heard whose show I was coming on, I was absolutely thrilled.
Well, Jeff, you got to come back up to Rochester when you get a free weekend outside. If the Red Bulls have an off week, you got to come up and visit us. I know everyone would love to see you again and tell those great stories like you have. You got to write a book, Jeff. You got so many great stories.
And you're welcome. To come to dinner at my house.
Listen, guys, I want to be at the Americana Hotel, Joe, but I don't think it's there. But you put it together, and I'll be there. There's nothing that would make me feel better than another reunion up in Rochester with you guys.
We'll work on it.
Well, Chef, we thank you again for being on the show today. Congratulations once more on being part of the Cosmos. We'll certainly be watching all of the news for NYCosmos.com, and hopefully there'll be a big announcement not too far in the future that the Cosmos will be officially back playing professional soccer in America, and I know you'll be one of the biggest fans and thrilled of it because you're a native New Yorker.
Well, thank you, guys. I love you, and I love Rochester, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Chef.
We appreciate it. Chef Messing here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Very, always great, Joe, to have Chef back on our show. And again, he's got to write a book, all the stories he has from the NASL.
Let me tell you, one of the things that if Chef ever wrote a book, it'd be a bestseller.
Well, we'll be back next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, our special Memorial Day show with one of the greatest women players and coaches in the history of U.S. soccer, Hall of Famer April Heinrichs will be next here on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
This is Dave Sarek, and I listen to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WISL with Joe, my good friend.
Than 20,000 watts of news power every day. You're listening to WYSL 1040.com, FM Talk 92.1, and News Power 1040 WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Hi, I'm Doug Miller, and if you love soccer and golf like I do, then you need to come to the Doug Miller Sports Dome, still located at 4618 Ridge Road West. It's just a chip and a putt away from Grease Ridge Mall. Go to DougMillerSoccer.com and click Sports Dome or call 352-5300. It's fun for the entire family.
Is your family growing and it's time to move up to your next home? You can afford to build your next home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? Faber homes are in communities with good schools, parks, and the conveniences your family needs. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta, and coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes. Great homes. Great price.
Watch the sparks fly as Rochester enters the highest level of women's professional soccer in the world with the Western New York Flash. Starring five-time FIFA Player of the Year, Marta. Ball Girl Opportunities Season and Group Ticket Specials online at WNYFlash.com. Strike it big with Marta and the Flash. Get struck.
Come see the Flash at Salem Stadium Friday, June 3rd at 7:30 against Sky Blue FC. The Western New York Flash, experience the best.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
The one place in town to get all your gear is the Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
The Rochester Rhinos continue play in their 16th season. The Rhinos' next home match is Saturday, June 11th at 5:30 p.m. against the Harrisburg City Islanders. Rhinos' single-game tickets can be purchased at the Salem Stadium box office or by calling the Rhinos at 454-KICK. Group sale discounts are available. Get the complete 2011 schedule by visiting the Rhinos' website at rhinosoccer.com. Be at the heart of the Rhinos' action at Salem Stadium all season long.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Back here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, our special Memorial Day show, again, pre-taped for broadcast at this time. Andrew Batista here with Joe Sirianni. And Joe, one of the greatest women players and coaches ever to be here from the United States, is with us on the air now. It's been a few years since we've had her on, back in the days of Mr. Schiano.
Well, it's a pleasure to have April Beck on our show. Of course, it's an honor. You know, she, it's a woman that has accomplished many things in the soccer business, and we are very pleased to have her on.
And April's appearance today, April Heinrichs, U.S. Soccer Hall of Famer, being brought to you by Han Automotive and New Way Auto Parts. Go to hanauto.com, H-A-H-N-Auto.com. Six locations in the Rochester area. April, thank you for being with us on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for covering women's soccer.
Oh, we've been doing a lot of that this past few months here on our show with the Western New York Flash, and all we've had many players on the show and interviewed them, and also now the Rochester Ravens are going to be kicking off their season. They just actually started their season as we tape the show. It'll be a couple games left under their belts, but I know you're in a new role with U.S. Soccer, the technical director for the U.S. Women's National Teams as of the beginning of this year, and you're going to be focusing a lot on youth development. Tell us how you came to become that, be in that role with U.S. Soccer.
Well, I guess the first thing I'd say is technically it's not a new role. I was the technical director also back in 2000 to 2005 when I was with U.S. Soccer and coaching the women's team.
That's when we had your own.
Yeah, it was a dual role. Yeah. And, you know, I think the time has come where that position can no longer be done by one person. Pia, as great a coach as she is, has said that partly because of the demands of the women's job and the focus and the necessary commitment to stay pretty myopically focused, she couldn't do both roles. And so U.S. Soccer eventually made the decision to separate the roles. When I initially was having conversations with U.S. Soccer, the title was going to be called Youth Technical Director. And so if that tells you anything, at least, that the focus is going to be on the youth game. The title changed at the last minute, but I think that's only because we want to make sure that titles at U.S. Soccer are reflective of the international game as well.
Well, the title means something, but the reality is the job that you're going to have is to develop young girls, you know, and promote the game of soccer on a youth level. And so
that's correct. You know, we've had many youth national teams. We've grown over the years. The focus, I think, with myself and the other new director that was hired, Jillian Ellis, is going to be primarily from 20 years and younger. Historically, the national team program hasn't gotten drilled much deeper than 13-year-olds, but we're actually talking about 6-year-olds. At least in our first 4 months on the job, we're starting to talk about what do we need to do differently to develop 6 to 12-year-olds in America.
That's a great point, because we've been, I guess, at the last few weeks, we've gone to the Rhinos kickoff dinner, the Flash kickoff dinner, the Ravens kickoff dinner. There are girls there, soccer players from age 6, 7 years old, all the way up through their early teens, especially the early teens. They tend to go to the Rhinos dinner. They want to meet all the hot guys. But I tell you, there's so many players in Rochester, girls soccer players, whether they play at the travel team level, the house leagues, and even getting into the elite travel teams that go around the Northeast. It's a hotbed for soccer, as you well know. And I guess from your standpoint, what do you see as the main goals for your job to find those diamonds in the rough, I guess, those girls that could really make an impact at a national team level?
Well, I think the beauty of U.S. soccer separating these two positions, technical director and national team coach, and hiring two new directors at the same time, and putting a focus on youth development, is I don't think we have to focus on one thing. I think we need to take a very reflective look at the game and what's the state of the game today, do quite a bit of research, which we started to engage in, on ourselves and various pockets of where we get players, research in terms of what is the best skill acquisition years for kids, what are the best skill acquisition for young talents, and also spend some time traveling and looking around internationally and seeing what we can steal from every country. Not that we're identical to any other countries, but we can certainly steal from some of these nations around the world, and potentially propose a 25-year plan. I'm not calling it a 25-year plan right now. I'll probably spend the next year writing it. But I think, for example, 25 years ago, having a coach for six-year-olds who had never played the game and doesn't use his or her feet was acceptable because we were growing. It was a grassroots effort. We didn't have the population of people that could use their feet. But 25 years into this, that's no longer acceptable, to have our 6, 7, 8-year-olds having coaches that don't know how to use their feet in their training, that are not role models for the young kids to fall in love with the ball. So we're trying to look at initiatives like that that might inspire 100,000 new coaches to go into coaching, or all the former players that once played but are not coaching. How do we get them coaching?
Well, that was the point that I was going to ask you, because you know, when you have 6, 7 years old kids, from 5 years old on, when you know, that's the time that they need good coaching, because they develop the skill. Because once they get to 17, 18 years old, those skills are already developed, and you're not going to change their habit, you know, in most cases. So my perspective is that the most important thing for you guys to look at it, to have, just what you said, qualified coaches that are going to be able to teach the game and going to be able to recognize and you know, talent, and be able to implement a program that kids are going to like to go back and play, you know, in advance.
You actually mentioned an interesting phrase, that we have coaches that teach the game. I actually think we have a plethora of coaches that teach the game, and we are lacking in the more important type of coach that can teach skills.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, we're teaching kids at 10 years of age how we're teaching teams at 10 years of age how to win. We're focused on winning at 10, 11, and 12. Our coaches, and we're a coach-driven society, our coaches are focused on winning. And so consequently, they're teaching the team when they're 11, 12 years old, and we want them to start focusing more on the individual. That's going to be a cultural shift that isn't going to happen overnight. We feel like we're starting to have enough people on board that want to make some of these changes. The community is very eager and very supportive of some of the cultural changes we think we need to put in place over the next couple of years. So it should be exciting to see if we can make an impact.
April, I just, you know, to switch a little bit from the youth level to, you know, the present level, in order to make women's soccer more not more attractive, because it's already attractive. I like it better than men's soccer. And I'll tell you the reason why. They don't dive. They don't do all the crazy things that men's soccer players do, that they roll around the ground and then they just get up. The women are not fake. So, but the reality of the thing is that in order, you know, we see this in Rochester. Rochester's got a very, very good team, and with a lot of, we got Mart over here. What is it? What needs to be done in order to make, you know, women's soccer more attractive to the American public?
Well, that's probably a better question for a marketing expert. I will tell you that that's a much more daunting question than I think some of the challenges and new initiatives that Jill and myself want to implement in terms of meaningful impact in the game. And I think it's a societal challenge. As long as people are willing to pay $100 to go watch men's professional sports who complain about making $10 million a year, who have bad behavior at times off the court or the field, and yet we can't even muster up $10 million to support an 8-team women's professional league. I don't know the answer to that marketing question because our society still values the professional men's sports in America and the untouchableness of it. We don't even get autographs from those guys anymore.
April, that's one of the things that really I love about the Flash is the girls, the women who play on this team are so approachable. They're so personable. Yep. They loved interacting with the young girls, and these are true role models for these young players. Not only the fact that they're personable and they can talk to the girls, but just having these girls watch these top level women players on the field and seeing what they do, I think that's the direction that this whole league has to go in, is to get these young girls to come to the matches and see the best players in the world and watch them on the field and pick things up from them. And that's going to be a great way, I think, to learn the skills by watching the ones who have mastered it.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we've got to get their parents to get them to the game. We need to get sponsors on board that value some of the qualities you and I have talked about that women's sports demonstrates on a consistent basis.
And
once
other,
we can do that, we can have resources towards marketing it, and I think we can get more people.
On the other hand, April, you know, United States soccer has to recognize the fact that the league in itself right now needs help, because if the league fails, then where the United States going to draw and have those people play all the time? You know, they're going to have to go abroad. They, you know, you got to have an established league that is efficient to have the girls play in it to represent the country in the World Cup. So, I mean, it's essential for, in my opinion, it's essential for U.S. soccer to intervene and kind of support and promote women's soccer more diligently than they've been doing right now. From what I see. You think that there is such movement?
I don't know. I believe, like all of us do, that we need a women's professional league. It is a monumental undertaking. We know that to have a league of about 8 teams is about $8 million, $10 million a year. If all of that money, that would essentially be U.S. soccer's budget for women's soccer for the year. If all that money went to those pro-aged players, so 8 teams times 20, 25 players and their coaching staff and support staff, then we would have essentially be investing in the tip of the iceberg, with so much of the iceberg underwater. That might be a short-term fix. It might be, you know, as you said, an intervention, but I don't know if it's a long-term plan. Because if we neglect player development in the youth level, then long-term, no short-term fix would fix it. We would have long-term problems for a really long time.
I love that analogy, April, the tip of the iceberg, because you're absolutely right. The host of the iceberg's underwater. You don't see it. But this is, and I also got to say, the Flash are doing their part. They're reaching out to the youth players. They have an adopt-a-player program where a youth team can take one of the Flash players and make them their special player who is going to work with them, and I think that's a great thing, and that's going to help also interest in the upcoming World Cup, which is going to maybe the biggest World Cups ever in Germany. And I just want to get your thoughts. You've played in the World Cup in 91. You were the national team, the world champions. You coached in the World Cup in 2003 when Germany came here and won. What are your thoughts on the U.S. chances in this World Cup? And who do you think the U.S. is the favorite? Or do you think maybe another country might be the favorite?
Oh, for sure, without question, Germany is the favored team to win it. They're the reigning world champions. They're going to try to repeat. They are building this World Cup for 5 years now. They had a test run last summer with the under-20 Women's World Cup. Their under-20s won that World Cup. Their country is primed. They're going to have packed stadiums. It's the first World Cup where we are not having doubleheaders in the women's game. Every German player has stayed home for the last 3 years and not played in any foreign leagues because she wants to be in her country, building Germany, the Bundesliga, and building their national effort to host this World Cup. That said, I think Brazil is also one of the top teams. We can't count out Sweden and England because both of those countries have been pouring resources that are matching the type of resources U.S. soccer has been putting into our national team. And they view this World Cup as their home World Cup. They're not having to travel across continents or across oceans to get into that World Cup. They're going to have some fans from their country right there in those stadiums as if they're the home country. So I think Sweden and Germany, Brazil, Sweden, England are all favorites. You have to look at what's been happening in Asia, particularly North Korea. They've had success at the under-20 age group, under-17 age group. All of those players are matriculating. They're always a mystery, but they're a really strong contender because of their skill set alone. And then, of course, I like the U.S.'s chances. Watching them play the other night, things are coming together for them. They're playing very good soccer. They've got a pool of players coming off the bench that can impact them because it's a six-game tournament and a long stretch. The U.S. is one of the teams that has a history of getting better during the tournament, along with Germany. And so I like our chances as well.
And we can't forget Canada as well. Of course, we have Christine Sinclair and Candace Chapman and Kelly Parker on the Flash. They're going to be in a very tough group, but I think they have an opportunity to do some damage as well. They're the CONCACAF champions.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I it's very appropriate that you correct me and say that because I think Canada, actually in an interview 2 days ago, I mentioned Canada as one of them. I was, of course, disappointed to hear that Sinclair is playing so well up there for the New York team because, a Christine Sinclair that goes into the World Cup hot is a dangerous, makes Canada an incredibly dangerous team. And, they've had some success and the type of game that they play is difficult for a lot of countries, and the climate's going to be good for them in Germany as well. So they, too, could be very dangerous and catch a wave.
It's going to be a great World Cup. We have a lot of great teams, a lot of the standard powers of women's soccer, and then you got some new teams coming up. You got France in the World Cup, and then, of course, this mysterious team from Equatorial Guinea that's had some very interesting allegations posed against them. And I don't know.
Please don't go there. Please don't go there and ask me those questions.
Yeah, I wasn't, but let's just say it will be interesting when Brazil plays them. I think both teams will be very skillful, and I think that should be a very good match. But like I said, Germany, I agree with you. Germany is definitely the favorite, but as you know, you've played and coached, anything can happen in the World Cup. I don't think anybody would have expected some of the results last year in South Africa. And this World Cup can do the same thing. There's a lot of great, talented ladies out there, and they're going to be representing their countries and going all out. And I'm really looking forward to it starting June 26th for 3+ weeks. It's going to be a great event, and every match will be on live here in the U.S., and I'll definitely be watching most of them.
Before we let you go, we looked in the bios that you played in the Italian League for Juventus. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Parlo italiano?
Sì, parlo italiano allora.
Parla,
anch'io. Va bene, grazie.
Va bene, grazie.
Io sono tifoso di Juventus.
Juventus?
Sì,
ah.
sì.
Ho giocato Juventus 2 mesi.
Va bene, grazie.
You'll have to translate for me later, Joe. I'm Italian, but I don't speak. All I speak is soccer. I can say a destra, a sinistra, calcio di punizione, irregolare.
Rigore.
Yeah, exactly. Rigore. I can speak soccer.
Goal.
But,
yeah.
I can speak that, but that's about it. So, but April, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much, and we wish you best of luck in your role with U.S. Soccer. We'll certainly be watching everything that's going on within the U.S. women's program, and hopefully we'll be having many great women's players coming up through the ranks for many years to come. Thanks again for being with us.
We will have many great players coming.
Thank you, April. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much for, again, following your team out there in New York and following the women's game and all the advertisement and support you give to the women's game.
Grazie tante. Ciao.
Grazie tante too.
Bye, April. April Heinrichs here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We'll wrap up our show next here on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Becky Edwards, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Kuja Kuj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me, salvatores.com.
For essentials like toothpaste or toilet paper, you buy in bulk. It's easier and cheaper. The same is true with insurance from Allstate. Save big when you combine your car insurance with home insurance, boat, motorcycle, ATV, or even another car. Buy in bulk. Save in bulk. Are you in good hands?
Start saving today. Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo first at 244-2130. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
New Way Auto Parts, your locally owned and operated full-service auto parts store, has serviced Rochester area consumers for over 50 years. New Way stocks a full line of AC Delco and Motorcraft parts, along with Wix filters, Monroe shocks and struts, Walker exhausts, and Timken bearings. Six locations in the Rochester area, including in the city, Irondequoit, Greece, Gates, Henrietta, and Farmington. Go to HahnAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HAHNAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
Watch the sparks fly as Rochester enters the highest level of women's professional soccer in the world with the Western New York Flash. Starring five-time FIFA Player of the Year, Marta. Ball girl opportunities, season, and group ticket specials online at WNYFlash.com. Strike it big with Marta and the Flash. Get struck.
Come see the Flash at Salem Stadium Friday, June 3rd at 7:30 against Sky Blue FC. The Western New York Flash experience the best.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcar Sirianni. We wrap up our Memorial Day show. And Joe, always great to have Shep Messing on the show, April Heinrichs and Soccer Sam. And we look forward to coming back on again live next Monday.
Yeah, what a trio to have on. And, how much they know about soccer. And I think that we are privileged that we had those people on. And that's what Soccer Kick in the Grass does. It has people that really know soccer and they know what they're talking about.
That's right. And we'll be looking forward to having Dick Howard back on next week to preview the U.S.-Canada match in the Gold Cup coming up next Tuesday. We'll talk about the Gold Cup. We'll talk about the Rhinos and the Flash and the Rochester Ravens and everything having to do with soccer. We'll back on again live next Monday. I want to thank our guests, Soccer Sam Fantuzzo, of course. Also thank Shep Messing and Teresa Tran from the New York Cosmos, April Heinrichs from U.S. Soccer, and our good friend Aaron Heifetz for setting that up. This is Andrew Battisti with host and executive producer Joe Sirianni and Bob D'Angelo with the WYSL Controls. Be with us again next Monday for our next live edition of Soccer is Kicking the Grass, 6:30 on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, the Soccer Shack, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, New Way Auto Parts, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park, presented by Kodak. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.